Axion Estin, ένα πρόγραμμα για τη μουσική μας παράδοση. Από τη βυζαντινή μουσική στο δημοτικό τραγούδι.
Τρία χρόνια
Επιμέλεια και παρουσίαση Άγγελος Λαμπούσης.
Welcome to another program of Axion Estin on Cosmos FM. Like every Saturday afternoon, here we are today. Tomorrow, Sunday, October 3rd, marks this year's commemoration of National Church Music. Each year, on the first Sunday in October, on or after the feast of Saint Romanos the Melodist, the patron saint of church musicians, parishes across the Archdiocese of America celebrate National Church Music Sunday. This commemoration was inaugurated by His Eminence Archbishop Iacovos of North and South America in 1982 and has been reaffirmed by His Eminence Archbishop Demetrius of America. National Church Music Sunday is a day that honors the contributions of local choir members, psalters, and music educators who serve their churches through the hymnology of our Orthodox Church. In addition, it is a day when we recognize the work of choir federations, as well as the National Forum of Greek Orthodox Church Musicians, who through their music ministry strive to enhance the development of church choirs, church musicians, and liturgical music. In October, the radio program Axion Estin, in a continuous effort to promote Greek culture, especially the forgotten art form of medieval Byzantine music, will feature distinguished members of the National Forum of Greek Orthodox Church Musicians. All the in-studio interviews and the commentaries will be conducted for the first time in English. Producers and hosts of Axion Estin are Areti Tsiola and Angelo Lambousis. Enjoy the program. We have just heard one of the many versions of the hymn Axion Estin, as interpreted by the renowned Greek-Byzantine choir of Lycurgos Angelopoulos. We will continue with the first of a two-part interview with Nancy and Stanley Takis. They are both distinguished members of the National Forum of Greek Orthodox Church Musicians. Most Greek Orthodox Church musicians know that the music of our church is based on eight tones. Beyond that, there is often bewilderment. In their interview, the Tagises reveal, how does one recognize one tone from another? What exactly is a tone anyway? Why do some people call them modes? Why do chanters use those squiggly lines while choirs use, quote-unquote, real music? Without going into great detail, there are some observations and simple facts that can help the tone deaf or the non-motivated person to have some understanding of the Byzantine eight-tone system, which has been a part of Orthodox hymnology from the earliest days. The music that will be heard in the remaining of today's program is mostly a cappella and was recorded exclusively for our radio program from Dr. Christos Chalkias, professor of the Athoniada School of Mount Athos, which is the center of Eastern Orthodox monasticism. Dr. Chalkias' most popular work is his chanting in the album Iakynthos, released by Sony Classical worldwide. The recordings of Dr. Chalkias for our program include demonstrations of the scales of the eight Byzantine modes, as well as selected hymns.
Παβουγαδικεν
Today on Actionistin, we have two visitors from out of town, out of state. More specifically, we have the pleasure of having Mr. Stan Takis in the studio with us, along with Nancy Takis, who are partners in life as well as in chanting. Welcome to the show and welcome to New York.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you're out of state. Can you tell us a little bit about where you live and what you do and what is your relationship with chanting?
I'm from Michigan, and I've lived there all my life. And I'm third generation Greek-American. My grandparents were born over there. And my wife was baptized a Lutheran. And we decided that when we had children, we would be regular churchgoers. And in the process of going to church, they found out that my wife was an organist. She could play the organ, and so that's how she got into it. And I'll let her tell the rest. But I am also a music teacher, so that is my background as a musician.
Well, my musical experience is I had 2 years of piano lessons when I was a young teenager, and I sang in high school choir. But when they needed an organist at the Greek Orthodox Church, they kind of tapped me because no one else was available and helped me follow the service. And once I had studied the liturgy, I absolutely was captivated by it. And it hooked into me like nothing else ever had, and I was stuck, and I never regretted it. I ended up being an organist for several years until a priest needed a weekday chanter, and he pointed to me and said, "You can do that." And although I resisted, I ended up doing it. And over the years, I no longer even play the organ. Our choir doesn't even use an organ anymore. But I became very involved and intrigued and studied a lot about the hymnology and the services of the church. And I started out just by standing and watching and listening. And then I eventually learned to read the Byzantine. I learned to read Greek fairly well. And then I learned to chant all the services, and I'm now involved in also translating and setting English text to chant.
You both have a certain degree of a musical background. How much do you think it is important for someone to have a detailed knowledge of Byzantine music, either the theory or the practice of it, in order to perform, in a way, chanting?
My experience has been that although the choirs mostly use Western music and organs and choral parts, at the Psalterion, we do only Byzantine. And if a person does not read Byzantine chant, there is a fair amount of the music for the Orthros or for the Vespers available in Western notation. But if the person does not read the Byzantine chant and is not familiar with the nature of the different ichi, it's going to be very difficult. If you come across a piece and it says to be chanted in a specific tone and you don't even know how that tone goes, you will basically be up there making up sounds to go with the words, and it would not be recognized as a particular ichos, and it might not be recognized by anybody else. It's the tool that we have to have, and if you don't have that tool, you're basically confined to transmitting the words to the faithful in the congregation.
I would say that it is essential, because I've known people who were very well trained in Western music And I mean, to the point of being very distinguished scholars of Western music. And but Western music is based on major scales and minor scales and lots of harmony, and it's just a totally different language from the Byzantine music. And I've seen people who understand Western music in and out, but have no idea, have no clue what the Byzantine music is about. So I would say they would have to gather that knowledge if they wanted to be able to perform.
There are some priests who are very, very particular if a hymn is to be chanted, say, in the first tone, and you end up chanting it in the fourth tone. It is important to some of our clergy and to some of our people that tone that the hymn is in also transmits a feeling or
an emotion
that affects the words, and if you don't sing in the right tone, they are very upset. There are other priests that are just happy to have anybody standing there at all and are not even concerned with it. So a lot of it depends upon your parish also.
So learning music is, from other people, sort of the traditional way of learning, at least in Greek traditional music, this is the way it was done.
Right.
You would listen to someone, and that's how things were passed on in a way. Can the same thing be applied in Byzantine music, and to what extent? And my other question is, do you think there are sources readily available for someone to learn Byzantine chant? Are there books or musical libraries? Are people willing to teach, older people with experience willing to teach, at least from your experience in the United States?
I was a high school choir director for many, many, many years, and I know that there's two ways to learn music. And of course, the one way in which the way most people naturally did was just to hear it over and over again, and then eventually they find out what that is. And I can tell you that takes much, much longer time than if you know how to read music and you can just sit down and sing it on first reading. And that's why I think the chanters learned by ear, is because music reading is not readily available for the people who want to do Byzantine music. And so they learn by ear. And I think it would probably take a lot less time if they learned the theory first and how to read it, and it would be quicker, I believe. And you can talk about the sources.
Well, I was very fortunate because my protopsalti did read Byzantine notation and showed me how to read it, and he was also an excellent musician, he had a master's degree, I think, in piano performance. He was an excellent Western musician anyway. He was also a native Greek, so he understood, in terms of the sound, the Byzantine sound and the Western sound, and he was able to help me study both of them. I used him as a major source, and I also did what I could. There's a gentleman by the name of Savas Savas who wrote a manual for people trying to understand Byzantine music theory, and I poured through that and carried it around with me for years trying to understand. But my knowledge of Western music wasn't that great that I could always understand what he was talking about in Byzantine theory. And then I have a teacher, a mentor, that has helped explain a whole lot to me. But for most people, you just don't go down to your library and ask for a book on Byzantine chant, take it home and read it and understand it, just as you would not. You probably could get a teach yourself piano book at a bookstore and go home and study and go through the lessons and end up playing the piano. Byzantine chant is not quite so simple.
You won't find Byzantine chant for dummies.
In case you just tuned in, you are listening to Cosmos FM on 91.5 FM through WNYE and the program Axionistin. Axionistin is a bilingual program of the forgotten art form of medieval Byzantine chant. If you like or dislike this radio program, please let us know. Opinions and constructive comments are always welcome. To learn more about the music you are listening to, or to become a sponsor of our initiative, please email us at axionistin@gaepis.org or call us at 718-204-8900. Okay, with us today on Aksionistin is Nancy and Stan Taikis, and we're discussing their experience as Greek Americans or Americans and their involvement in Byzantine music in the United States. One of the elements encountered probably more often in Greek Orthodox churches in the U.S. Rather than in Greece is the organ. Is this a traditional element? Were there musical instruments in the quote-unquote early church? Or were there instruments perhaps for specific hymns in the past? In other words, were hymnographers having in mind instruments when they were composing specific hymns?
I don't believe the Byzantine hymnographers had an instrument in mind. A lot of the Protestant and Catholic music that we have in use today, probably, what, 15th century? Is that the earliest music we have?
We have some Gregorian chant that's older than
but
that.
But a lot of it was written and composed to be accompanied by an organ. And in this country, most of the Protestant denominations, which I would be more familiar with, have an organ, or they very rarely have a hymn sing without some kind of an accompaniment. Now it's come to guitars and drums and synthesizers.
I'm not quite sure where the organ turned up in the Western church, but the fact of the matter is that in America, which was founded by Protestants, and there were few Catholics, but it's primarily a Protestant nation. And in those churches, when, say, people from Greece came here, they were already a nation of churches, and these churches had organs, and they had choirs, and they were singing hymns in the pews. And I think that's where the organ sort of infiltrated into the Greek church from there, because we do have canons that forbid musical instruments in the Orthodox Church. We're supposed to sing with the living organism, your voice.
You yourself become the instrument of praise, not the organ or the artificial instrument, so to speak.
I believe, there was a lot of imitation when we came over here to the United States, when our immigrants, my ancestors, and I think there's an American way of doing things. Even the traditional role of the choir is different in the Orthodox Church than it is in the Protestant churches, because hymn singing was, instituted by Luther, wasn't it? The whole congregation would get these hymn books out, and they would sing in four-part harmony, and the organ became the accompaniment. And then it came to the point where they would have choirs singing by themselves. I think in the Orthodox Church, the choir was first instituted to help the psalty, because originally the congregation sang, but as we developed more hymns and they didn't know them, I mean, people couldn't read, and so, everybody would be singing and nobody would know the words. And I understand that there was even one point where there's a canon that forbid the singing by the congregation, and they say they assign that to the psalty, and that became an ordained position in the church. And there was one for each side of the church, and I think the tradition of the choir in the Orthodox Church was they were helpers to the psalty. They would maybe hold down the eson while the psalty sang the melodies in the hymns, and I think when the immigrants came to this country, the Greek immigrants, and their chanting and their church traditions, and then they sort of, there was a butting of heads with the American Protestant tradition.
Well, it's sort of unavoidable, and this is what history shows us, right? It is, you get influences in the new environment.
Yes, and I think that they... and they see one group doing this, and they say, we could do that too. And I think it was a gradual change, but I think the system became a little bit westernized, and I think that's where that came from.
We definitely, in the Orthodox Church, had to become westernized to use the organ, because most of the tones do not use a tempered scale, and the distances between any two notes would vary depending on the tone you were singing or the mode that you were singing in. Whereas in Western music, they're all half steps apart and whole steps apart, and you can play it in any key and it's going to come out the same. There's only, I think, you can't play some of the Byzantine modes accurately on the organ. So I think that's one of the ways that American chant has altered from the Byzantine, is we might keep the same notes of the scale, but they're different distances apart now, so they can be played on an organ.
And another very interesting coincidence is that the big wave of immigration of Greeks to America also coincided with the controversy of John Sakellaridis and the other, you know, Greek chanters who began to harmonize music. And so when they harmonized music, I'm sure they were just thinking of voices. I don't think they were thinking of organs. But when John Sakellaridis wrote his music down in Western notation in three-part harmony, it was very easy to go to the organ and play it, you know.
So this is, I guess I'm asking for your personal opinions. Do you see this westernizing or harmonizing of the chant as a threat to the traditional Byzantine chants?
I think it is, in that the harmonization obscures the nature of the ichos. The tones all sound the same when they're all harmonized in the key of D, and we lose that balance, the relationship, the tension and resolve between the melodic line and the esone. I often compare it to comparing black and white photography to color photography. Black and white relies heavily on the shadows, and you get a definition and a clarity there that you don't get in color photography, which is maybe more astounding to the eye and has its own beauty. But I compare Byzantine chant maybe to the black and white photography of Ansel Adams, and harmonized chant loses that starkness and that definition and that clarity, and it becomes so obscured you sometimes can't tell the harmony line from the melodic line. And since the esone is obliterated, you don't have any feeling of being grounded by that drone which tells the chanter what tone he's singing in.
Yes.
This concludes the first part of the Takis's interview. And now, here's what's going to happen next Saturday on Axionistin.
Oh, a hymn before this in the liturgy,
Earlier in the liturgy,
we sing, Agios, 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 Kyrios, Sabaoth, Pleris, O Uranon. And I have often heard this translated in English, Heaven, Heaven and Earth, and you end up singing your high note on the word earth, and then where the Greek would go down to mention earth, we're stuck up there on a high note on earth. And
these are the kind of mistakes that people make when they...
This is a form of text painting where your music is going to emphasize your text, and usually if you're singing up high, you're going to talk about heaven and not about earth. The tone system is absolutely remarkable in the way it crafts the music and the text. And my husband has said it's a perfect marriage between text and music. When you change your text, you might not have that perfect marriage anymore. But in the Byzantine, in the Greek, those melodies were written for those texts, and they are perfectly compatible with them. We need to figure out a way to educate our people so that when they are singing a hymn in English, rather than just singing it to a melody that might not fit it, they understand what they're doing and use the nature of the ichos to form their melodies.
Many, many of the previous guests of Axionistin have supported the idea that the forgotten art form of medieval Byzantine chant is the flip side of a coin, which on the other side has all Greek traditional music and Greek folk songs. In fact, all the truly traditional Greek songs fall into one of the eight Byzantine tones and can be described best by the Byzantine musical notation. Here's one musical example of this phenomenon, the song Dodeka Evzonaike in mode first. Yoros Dalaras sings the song for us. From Angelo Lambousis,
και την αρετή Τσιόλα.
Thanks for tuning in. Tune in again next week at 12:30 p.m. to learn more on Byzantine chant and its various manifestations from Greece all the way to New York.
ζωνάκια κι αποφασίσανε στον πολεμό να πάνε Παναγιά μου να πολεμήσουνε. Στον πολεμό να πάνε Παναγιά μου να πολεμήσουνε. Στον δρόμο που διαβαίναν στη μαύρη θάλασσα κάποια φουρτούνα πιάνει Παναγιά μου ξεσκίζει τα πανιά. Κάποια φουρτούνα πιάνει Παναγιά μου ξεσκίζει τα πανιά. Δεν κλαίμε το καράβι, δεν κλαίμε τα πανιά, μόν κλαίμε τα ζωνάκια Παναγιά μου, τα νιούτσικα παιδιά. Μόν κλαίμε τα ζωνάκια Παναγιά μου, τα νιούτσικα παιδιά. Θα στάσιμώσουμε.